Okay, so yeah, I'm going to continue the series of the Sermon on the Mount, and today, I need a Bible, it's just there. We're into Matthew 7. I'll get onto the Matthew 7 passage in a minute. But yes, it's do not judge. And it was an interesting one I volunteered for, and I thought, okay, this will be interesting, because I'm in control. Now I am. We all judge. Sorry, I'd like to say that I'm pretty sure it's only the most holy of people who don't, but I think we all do. And actually, sometimes we need to. I think sometimes we need to judge. Sometimes we need to recognize if things are appropriate. If I was to stand here today in a pair of scratchy old shorts and a t-shirt with something offensive on it, you would judge me. I would hope you would. That, you know, we have to judge things by work and social etiquette and those sort of things. Those judgments are important. However, that's judging ourselves. We also need to be aware that we're not judging to make ourselves feel better. I think that's a deep meaning in this. And also, we're not judging out of a sense of ignorance. Those are kind of the messages of Jesus' message. Excuse me. Excuse me. So I'm going to read from Matthew 7. It's not on the screen, that's fine, you can send, listen. It's very short. It says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention? Have I lost microphone? Okay, I'll keep talking. There you are. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I'm going to stop there. There's the bit about not giving sacred things to the pigs, and I might mention that later. I'm in two minds. So, go on then. Let's have a bit of audience participation. What do we judge each other? What do we judge people on? Go on, shout out, be brave.
Which
what?
Team
absolutely. Or don't support, yeah. Anyone else? That's it, just football.
Politics. Abilities.
How they speak.
Superb. Absolutely, bless those people in Ammanford. Absolutely. Basically, do we judge people on our standards or by society standards? It's kind of what we put as a level of how we judge people. Of the things I've got down, adding to that list of their appearance, we judge people on how they look and their status and education and their opinions and their behavior. And the list is endless. We could spend the next half an hour talking about how we have judged people, how people have judged us. And actually, is it that way? It's that way. Good news. Society's kind of made it okay to judge people. We've got these X Factor. You know why I'm falling on the right side of TV lines. The X Factor style TV shows make it okay to judge people. It's okay to belittle that person because their inability to sing is being made public to the world. It's been made okay. And then, actually, that's perpetuated through social media. These judgments, this attitude of it's okay to belittle people, actually, we read things. I was thinking about the whole clickbait thing. At the bottom of some websites that I go to, at the bottom, you get these, you won't believe what so-and-so said. And it's this big thing that something has been said, and rather than just, oh, ignore that, it was nonsense. Let's make it into a big thing and go and look, and then you follow that one to another one to another. And it's this leads to the whole cyberbullying and trolling and complete strangers having an opinion about somebody else's and judging them on what has been said or not been said and these unsubstantiated facts that come out. Okay, so let's go back to the Bible. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, let's not do that. Jesus warns, he was warning then, he's warning us now through his word, this living word. He says, we need to be the antidote to that. We do not need to perpetuate this. There's a bit of a challenge for me, for everyone who ever uses social media. The more we click on those things And look at those sites. It's perpetuated. It's made bigger. It's, when we repeat those things, oh, did you see so-and-so said such and such? These judgments grow. And apart from just the pure hypocrisy of it, there is harm in it. And Jesus recognized this harm. Now, let's remember, Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus uses sawdust and planks because I imagine he would have had that around him. I like to think when I was preparing this, he had it in his, and he would have got sawdust in his eyes. I brought some sawdust with me. And if you would like, I could have a volunteer and I could blow some of this in your eye. See what it feels like? The irritant, it would be horrible. You would go to somebody and say, quick, help me. Oh, I've got sawdust in my eye. Help me. Which is great until you put on plank goggles. Now let's try it. Who's going to come, get sawdust in their eye, and allow me to take it out with my plank goggles on? Soon to be available at Pearson Bowler. No. Where do I put my glasses? I think there's something about the danger in perpetuating these hypocrisies. Jesus pointed it out and said, the tiny little thing is somebody else's. You've got no way of seeing. This plank blocking your view is dangerous. You need to sort that out first. We are not fit to judge other people when our view is limited. And how can it be limited? Well, by sin. We have a view limited because we're human by sin. By inexperience. We don't know what other people have been through. We can't judge somebody based on what we have been through when their experience is completely different. By an arrogance that we are better than everybody else. And again, when I say we, I'm talking about me, but perhaps you could join in with me. Sin, inexperience, and arrogance. Just three things that I was thinking of that can lead to this blinding, this ridiculous thing where we have to sort everybody else out before looking at actually what's going on with us. I remember that years ago, Rodney preached on something similar. It might have even been this, Rod. And you reminded us of this picture. The pointing finger. The pointing finger. My mum always said, that's rude, you mustn't point. And yeah, I understand that. Rodney's pointing finger reminded us, actually, if you point and accuse somebody, if you judge somebody and point at them, there are three fingers pointing back at you. That thing of actually sort yourself out. Judge your own motives. Get yourself right. And then help others. You see, that's the message Jesus said. He didn't say, sort yourself out, sit in a corner. He said, yeah, other people have, where have I put it? Other people have sawdust in their eyes. Yes, people are irritated. There are things going on in life that we need to help people. We have a responsibility. We have God's word. We have God's grace and mercy. We know of that. We are in a privileged position if we know. And we have a responsibility to go and help people. To take God's word to them, to say, look, we can help. But not if we're completely blinded. You see, I don't think we can do it in our own strength. If any of us goes out in our own strength thinking, it's all right, I can sort this problem out. It's all right, that person at work, I'll let them know because I'm a Christian. I can let them know. You're going forward with your eyes blinded. Your view is limited. But God is good. He gives us his word. Holy Spirit walks beside us. He whispers wisdom if we will listen to it. Sometimes we need to discern the times to get involved and the times to step back. The times to judge and the times to help and not help. We need to listen. We need to trust God in that. He gives us intelligent brains to discern. He gives us common sense to know the right situations, the right times to step into. So, rather than these ridiculous goggles, I thought what we need is some glasses. That didn't work. Pew. We need to be in tune with God's view. So instead of the plank goggles, perhaps what we need are grace and mercy goggles. We need some glasses to help us see through God's eyes. Make things a little bit clearer. To help us understand what people are going through. So our inexperience, our arrogance, isn't what drives us forward. It's not about changing that person because we're... It's recognizing, yeah, that person, we can help them. We have God's word. We have God's love in our hearts. We can shine that light into other people's lives. Of course we can. Okay, And then I was thinking, okay, is there a danger then in not judging? If we take this passage and say, you know, taking the piece of speck out of somebody's eyes, if you were to leave it in there, it would get infected. That person could lose their sight. If there's an irritant in there, sight can be lost. If we're taking that metaphor to that extreme, actually ignoring the fact that person's got a speck in their eye is harmful. It can do damage. So that responsibility we have, we perhaps have to use our judging brains, our judging eyes. We have to come forward and say, come on. You see, the book of Judges, I found this. You can get Bible heroes, and they look proper, like superhero, Marvel-y type thing. There's a whole book called Judges in the Bible. God appointed the judges. He wanted people there to judge. He wanted people to uphold God's will. And it was necessary. At that time, in the Old Testament, it was necessary. It was necessary because in Judges 17:6 it says that at that point, everyone did as he saw fit. It was chaos. If I thought I'm going to do what I like, and it's against what Theo thinks, and Dave thinks it's a really bad idea, but Rodney's going to join me, you've got this situation where there's chaos going on, and people are getting hurt. Nobody is looking to God, and you've got this awful situation. So God stepped in and said, I'm appointing judges. And if you've ever read the book of Judges, it's got some incredible stories in there. It's got some pretty gory stuff going on. But it was God sorting things out. Until then, the reign of the kings came in. You could argue perhaps the kings didn't help very much. But until then, Jesus came in. And Jesus brought with him the teaching and the power and the glory that he did. And this bank of judges weren't necessary. Because Jesus is the judge. So, this whole thing of trusting the judges, trusting our judgment, danger in not judging, we have to step up and be heroes sometimes. Because sometimes a tolerance for everything can lead to this chaos. If I see fit to do things my way, and it's not the way of the way, if it's not in line with God's teaching, then we won't be judging appropriately. I've got a slide with three people on, hopefully. There you are. Do you know who she is? That's Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks. A lady who was arrested for sitting on a bus. Civil rights movement in America. And this one's a lot easier. Please. Much easier. There he is. Nelson Mandela obviously stepped up to apartheid in South Africa. He recognized the intolerance. And this person who I remember from childhood, my mum having her book. This is Corrie Ten Boom. And Corrie Ten Boom stood up and rescued Jewish people during the Nazi occupation. It was Holland, wasn't it, that she was from? She was Dutch. These people recognized the intolerance. They recognized that I can't remember if Rosa Parks is a Christian, it doesn't matter. They show this picture that actually, you've got to have a higher moral standard sometimes. That when there is injustice going on, when people are being hurt, in those situations they lived in, they had to step up to it. They had to judge what was going on and say, that's not right. I'm not going to tolerate that. That isn't the way to go. So versus Nazism and apartheid and white supremacy, versus in your life perhaps bullying or inequality, or an injustice. The attitudes that go against biblical principles. And one that still irritates me, one that still I find difficult, is the whole Sunday trading on the Sabbath. And that shows I'm nearly 40, because I remember growing up where everything shut on a Sunday. On a Sunday, churches opened, but shops didn't. And if you wanted to do things, you had to do it every other day of the week. And on Sunday, it was special because you got to spend time with family and come to church. Society has shifted. It's one thing that irritates me. It's a biblical principle that's kind of getting lost. There are so many others. We could have a straw poll now about other things, biblical principles you've recognized that are being lost because of society. And it's our job, perhaps, to step up and say, is that right? Is God's way being followed? So let's go back to that. The judges were appointed because there was no king. God appointed judges in this place of chaos. There was no king to bring order. And then the kings came along. And David, obviously an amazing king, brought his own brand of chaos to it. And then you've got King Jesus. Please. King Jesus. There you are. Hooray. Perhaps I'm a bit fast for this. We have a king, and his name is Jesus. And he is a fantastic example. An example of being the judge, and being a teacher, and being a leader. We have that as a role model. If we have Jesus as a role model, we can step into these situations when we meet people, when we're faced with this chaos, and we can say, actually, we know what Jesus would say. It's really clear. We have a Bible full of his words explaining it. And this Sermon on the Mount, let's remember the context it was in. That he wasn't preaching to Gentiles. He wasn't He was preaching to disciples. The Sermon on the Mount was him preaching to people who were following him. They were already signed up at a certain level of, I'm listening to what you want to say. I'm curious. I'm interested in what you've got to say. This was a message. The Sermon on the Mount was a message to believers, or people interested at least, to his disciples. So when Jesus said this about not judging, he was saying, trust me, come on, let's do this. And that's important because as Jesus is the only one who can deliver that message, he's actually the only one who is fit to judge. We trust in his word. We trust in God's Holy Spirit coming alongside us because Jesus is the only one who is fit to judge. He was, he is sinless. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How on earth can we judge if we are part of the sinful? I'm going to take you back to the summer, those of you who are here. Denise presented us with a hierarchy of goodness. It was brilliant. She put it on the microphone stand. And we had to say whether the people she had were good or bad, higher, lower. Lovely game show we had going on. And I think at the top was Mother Teresa, bless her. And at the bottom, a villain we love to hate, Mr. Adolf Hitler. We had them on this hierarchy. And the idea was, yeah, we can judge people by their what's going on. And then we fit somewhere in the middle. Some days we're probably a bit lower and some days we're a bit higher, but we're in the middle of this standard of goodness and badness. Again, lovely, yep. But even the best person is still below God's standards. Even Mother Teresa, in her wonderful life that she led and all the work that she did, she was still below God's standard, still below that standard Jesus set of this is how it is to live sinlessly. Crikey, that's a tough thing, isn't it? Well, how about this? It's just flash, that's nice. How about now if this is what the picture should look like? Then actually, on that hierarchy, it isn't vertical, it's horizontal. We are all, according to Romans 3:23, sinful. All of us. It doesn't matter where along this line we are, to be honest. It's this distance. We are below God's standard. How can we judge? How are we in the right place to judge? Well, actually, Romans 3:23 carries on to Romans 3:24. So it's all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, because of what he's done, because of his life and his death, we are redeemed. We can say that we follow Jesus. We can say that we can have an impact. We have a responsibility to go around removing the specks from other people's eyes. We absolutely can. We can make sensible judgments in people's lives. Because no, we're not there yet, but we're not where we were. We are not in that place of the pit in the darkness. We are not far out of reach. We're in God's light. We have a responsibility to come forward and say, I want to be a speck remover. I want to be getting people seeing clearly. I want to get people away from that irritation. But it's again about approaching with caution, and I'm going to close with this a little bit. That there has to be a balance. You have to walk that balance between being the judge and being the judged. You have to look at yourself before you look at others. You cannot jump straight in and make judgments on people. You have to seek God in those moments. Even if it's a quick arrow prayer up just to say, okay, that person needs a bit of a chat. Do it in prayer. Do it in love. And listen to Jesus. Jesus says, do not judge. Well, if that's the case, don't judge. We don't know what God is thinking. We don't know the story behind everything. God does. Perhaps this isn't the moment to step in. Listen to God. Do not charge forwards in arrogance, in our inexperience. And that's really the message. And we just have to end it by saying, thank you, God, for grace and mercy, because all of us are worthy to be judged. For everything you've done, you are worthy to be judged. And you're, in God's eyes, because we are below the standard, to be rejected. It's because of God's grace and mercy, because of what Jesus has done. We can come forward and we can say, hallelujah. Let's go into this. Let's celebrate joyfully. And let's get out and help other people. Let's get out and remove the specks that are in other people's eyes. In love. Please hear that. Not just, this isn't, Martin's given me permission to now judge every single, no. In love, let's do it. Let's be Jesus to people who desperately need him. I'm going to just finish with a prayer and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the challenge that comes out of it. And thank you for that discerning mind that you bless us with, where we can hear your word and apply it to our lives. And I pray that you will speak individually, not as a corporate to everybody, but individually to our hearts, to take what needs to be heard from this message and apply it in life. And thank you that your love, your mercy, your grace covers over the iniquity, the fact that we don't have a right to come before you, but because of your love through Jesus, we can freely, in a justified way, come before you. Amen.